Welcome to this module of Proclaiming the Word. Now, in this last session, we're going to talk a bit about public speaking, which is very ironic because public speaking, of course, is a very practical thing. And just to talk about the theory of it is not all that helpful. Nevertheless, we're going to look at a couple of practical pointers that you should consider. But the main thing is to get out there and just practice your public speaking. That's why teaching at a platform like the Encounter Series, teaching at Bible school, is brilliant opportunities because it really helps you in terms of growing in this. Now, a lot of people find public speaking very nerve-wracking, and I think it often sort of blocks just the preacher to, if a preacher doesn't feel confident about this, it can sometimes just sort of block what you're trying to convey in terms of a message from God. It doesn't mean that if you're good at public speaking, that makes the message. It doesn't mean that your eloquence or charisma is what's going to determine the sermon itself. Of course not. But of course, we deal with the brilliance of the Word of God. And in no sense, we want to diminish it. So if you grow in the art of public speaking, it really helps you to skillfully communicate and to create a platform for the audience to far easily receive that particular message. So without further ado, let's go through basic principles. Just one note though before we do that, there's many great online courses or courses out there that you can subscribe to and that you can learn a bit more about public speaking. So we encourage you to do that. Just again, please remember, public speaking itself is just a particular skill. It's not the heart of sermons itself. It's not the heart of preaching itself. It's just a skill level to help in terms of your confidence when it comes with communication. Now, a couple of principles to look at. First off, very basic principles. First principle that we want to mention here is being yourself. It's very important. Being yourself when you preach is very important. You don't want to give an idealized performance. Now, as we all grow up in the Word, as we all come to church and develop in church, what happens is that you sort of have your favorite preacher, somebody that you really look up to. It might be in your congregation, your church group. It might be a well-known Christian out there, a well-known preacher out there that really preaches well. And the temptation often is to preach like that person. And that is really not so good. Obviously, we must learn all that we can from other preachers and develop in our own understanding of Scripture. But here's the thing, especially in a Western society, people really want a connection with you more than that what they want a connection with a performance. And I would say not coming to church because they're expecting a production. They're not coming to church because they're expecting a performance of kinds. They're coming to church because they want something that is very much authentic. In other words, they want to connect with you in the end of the day more than what they want to connect with a performance. And in that sense, sincerity is important. Now, what this sort of basic principle allude to is that you must give yourself permission to be yourself. The fact is that God wants to use you through who you are. Again, you as a person, you're not making the sermon as such. You're not making the sermon more true or less true. But if you are yourself, people are going to really connect with you in the end of the day. In other words, people must have a real feel for who you are. And in that sense, personal information is fine. Your experiences in terms of something is fine. People don't want perfection. They just want authenticity. Often, there's a huge temptation as well for you as a preacher to really put out a testimony out there that's going to blow everyone's socks off and put you in a different orbit, you know, from the rest, because then people are going to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about because he had this experience. But you don't have to submit to that sort of temptation. Obviously, if you do have a testimony that blows everyone's socks off, please do give it. That's not a problem as such. But it's equally important that people really have a feel for who you are. So often testimonies can even be in terms of what you failed at or what you've personally struggled with. People are not going to be put off with that. They're just going to say, wow, I can really relate to that. This person really knows how I feel in that sense. So the first principle is be yourself. Be yourself. Who you are is fine. I remember when I started off with ministry, I was we just got an office, and I was sitting there on my own. At that stage, I was the sole staff, the only one on staff in the congregation where I'm at currently, and I was sitting there with a wedding photo and the Holy Spirit, and that was it. That was the office. And at this moment, the one day where I realized I'm not that preacher, I'm not that pastor, I'm not that person. And I had a bit of a moment because I can do what those people can do. And I really remember just such an impression of God in my heart that, you know, it's not about being that person or that preacher. God knows who you are. And God has placed you where you are for a reason. And you can be yourself. You can allow God to work through you as He wants to work through you. And that is more than good enough, because it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on what God wants to do through you. Now, another basic principle when you look at public speaking, particularly in terms of sermons, is that you cannot impart what you do not practice. In other words, what happens in private really empowers or weakens your sermon itself. Now, but that's also a bit of a tricky thing to say, because it doesn't mean that you need to be perfect in regards to the topic. So you're talking about fear. It doesn't mean that you need to be absolutely fearless before you can talk about anything relating to fear. No, of course not. That's not what we should suggest. Obviously, it is important that you're honest where you are concerning yourself in terms of this particular topic. It's fine to say to the audience, you know what, I'm still struggling with this myself. But what happens here is that if what happens in private, in your own personal life, if you're not working through this, if you're not addressing this in prayer, if you're not growing through it yourself, if you haven't prayed through this topic, if you haven't heard from God, that tends to come out in the sermon itself. It tends to weaken the sermon. Conversely, if you pray through it, if you bring it before God, it really empowers the sermon itself. Now, another basic principle when it comes to public speaking in terms of preaching itself is that the message is greater than the messenger. The message itself that you bring is greater than the messenger. What do we mean with that? Well, very simply, you need to trust in the Word of God and not so much trust in your own charisma. The better you are in public speaking, the more eloquent you are, the more engaging you are, certainly it makes it easier for the audience to receive what you're saying. But that is not what you should trust in. You should not so much become trusting in a gifting or ability to communicate well as much as you should trust in the Word of God. In the end of the day, it's the Word of God that's making the difference, not eloquence. It's the Word of God that's making a difference, not your engaging nature when it comes to your audience. Another very basic principle is how you measure the fruit of that sermon, of that preaching, really reveals the motive of why you're preaching that. Now, this might sound very strange or abstract to you, but what you're going to find when you preach is that you want some feedback. You would like some feedback in terms of, is this fruitful that I said? Did it really make a difference? It is incredible how vulnerable one almost feels after doing a sermon. Did it actually make a difference? Because we put so much of ourselves into it. And although it's a Word of God that makes all the difference, we so personally engage with a topic that you put so much of yourself into it that you'd like to know, did it actually make a difference? Did it actually help somebody? And what you should be careful with here is to try and measure some sense of personal significance. You know, if you have an altar call at the end and everyone responds, then you feel, oh, this was amazing. I really did something well. If no one responds, then you go like, oh, I am terrible. This was the worst sermon ever. I should never preach again. Because the problem here is that you're using the fruit of a preaching to sort of try and determine in some way personal significance. that you should never do. A better way of doing this is really to take the sermon itself and the result of the sermon itself, look at how people grow because of that, which is a bit more of a long-term view of it. But what you can do more immediately is to take that sermon back in prayer to the Holy Spirit and just really ask God to give you some feedback about this. How does he feel about that? But it's very important that a sermon should not become a sort of a make or break sort of scenario for you where you sort of measure your own personal significance by it. A sermon is more a case of obedience. In other words, just being obedient to what God is saying. We find in Scripture, we find preachers that had very little success. We find somebody like Noah that preached for years and only his own family went with him on the ark. And then we find people that unwillingly preach at cities and the whole city repents, but he's actually very sort of unwilling. Jonah is an example of this. He was very unwilling to preach at the city, and yet when he preached, he gave a boring sermon. The scripture records that he only said one sentence that people should repent, and then the whole city repented. So he felt terrible about it, but he was very effective in that. It's very difficult to measure significance from preaching, just looking at how people responded. It's much better to actually take it back in prayer and ask God, was I actually obedient in everything that he gave me to do in terms of that? And that's something far more personal that's between you and God. Now, another very basic principle here in terms of public speaking as it relates to preaching is that reflective practice makes perfect. Practice itself does not make perfect. Just because you're doing it, it's not going to make it better. But if you reflect upon it, certainly it's going to make it better. In other words, get as much opportunity as you can to speak in front of other people and do ask for feedback. We often sort of scared of having feedback, but having feedback is great because there's a lot of things you're not aware of. There's a lot of habits that you pick up. Every preacher's got certain habits. I've got certain habits of preaching that I might not even be aware of. And if you can get somebody to give you feedback on that, that really helps. Don't ask the audience in front of you, give me feedback. Ask somebody that you trust, ask a leader to give you some feedback and just be open for that feedback. Ask them what you've done well, ask them what you've perhaps struggled with, ask for constructive tips in terms of how can you improve. So those are basic principles. A couple of personal considerations in terms of public speaking. Number one, respect the audience by how you dress. Now, you need to understand that every congregation that you go to might have a particular dress code. And by applying or keeping to that dress code, it really demonstrates respect to the audience. Now, it might not be so much of an issue if you are preaching within your own congregation, because then you'll have a feel for that already. But it is something to consider. Different cultures has got different rules in terms of what goes through as modesty, what goes through as the correct dress code in terms of sermons. I remember when I started off about 8 years ago with preaching, I wore a tie and a suit in terms of preaching because that's pretty much how everyone did it. And no one else in the audience was wearing a tie and a suit, but it demonstrated from my side that I respect the audience. It is important for me, to pitch up in the correct dress code. Obviously, that's gotten a bit more relaxed through the years, and you can get away with a jacket or perhaps even just a nice shirt instead of having to wear a suit and a tie. But still, you want to bear this in mind. So make sure that you understand that. Also, if you go on missions, for example, wherever you go on missions, often people get opportunities to preach at missions itself. Ask a question, what is the correct dress code in terms of a culture that I'm going to? Another personal consideration is to preach with boldness. Preaching without boldness, if you can state the reverse, preaching without boldness is not a proclamation. And it's a proclamation is a sense of this is a message from the king, and therefore boldness is very important. And boldness very much relates to whether you believe what you proclaim. Do you have confidence in what you're proclaiming? Because that confidence is based on the word of God, not your personal state or performance. Now, you might be preaching, you might be feeling terrible about yourself, for example. You might be feeling, oh, I don't have a clue what I'm doing here. I'm not going to be able to relate this well enough to the audience. Your confidence should not be on that. In other words, your confidence should not be on the fact that you might be feeling great and that you might feel that you've prepared perfectly for this. Your confidence should be based on the word of God. And it's important to say that to one another, because it doesn't matter how good you are as a preacher. I don't think you ever get in a position where you feel, wow, I'm so confident about what I'm going to say here now. I feel so confident about myself. I feel so confident about my preparation. It's going to be perfect. In fact, not. What I often do is before I do a sermon, right into the worship itself, is that I actually bring that sermon to God and I say, I give it to Him as an offering. And I humble myself before Him because I'm not perfect enough. I'm not good enough to give that message. But my reliance is upon Him. And I really pray around the heart of God that God wants to connect with people much more than He wants me to give this perfect performance or anything like that. Another personal consideration is to keep the sermon itself conversational, especially in a Western culture. In other words, people don't want to be preached at. They don't want a bully pulpit where you scream at them. Obviously not, but where you talk down to them and you giving the sermon the sense of being condescending. In a Western culture, people really do not like that. They prefer something that is a bit more conversational. In other words, they feel somebody's talking to them and with them instead of preaching at them. Now, in some other cultures, people actually feel very much cheated if they're not getting a rousing sermon. You know, obviously they look at it and they say, well, where's your boldness? Where's your faith? Just make sure that you actually understand the culture that you're going to and that you address them in a platform that they prefer. It makes it easier for a person to receive the sermon itself. Now, another area that we want to look at is the audience itself. So we looked at basic principles. We looked at personal considerations. Now, let's think a bit about the audience itself relating to public speaking. Now, a handy tip for you is to think of an audience as a person. I think it's often very intimidating for people when they start preaching because you've got so many people sitting in front of you. How do I actually, boy, how do I relate to all these people? How do I engage all these people? It's obviously far easier in a small group. Say you're sitting around a coffee table, you're chatting with somebody. It's much easier to relate one-on-one with a person. It's much easier to relate to with two or three people. It's so difficult to relate to with a large audience. How do you actually address all of them? Now, what is a handy tip here is to almost think of an audience as a person. Now, what is interesting, you're going to find the bigger the audience, the more homogenous their response actually becomes. Have you noticed, for example, if you go to a large service, there's many people there, you note they tend to laugh all at the same jokes. You might find yourself laughing at the same joke and you think, it's not even something that I find particularly all that funny, but because everyone is laughing, I'm sort of laughing as well. Have you noticed that? What you find is the bigger the audience, the more homogenous the audience tends to become in terms of its response. The smaller the audience, the more diverse it tends to become, but you can use that to your advantage. And what you should think of is this audience as a person and how this person is responding. Now, think about that logically, just for a moment. Say you meet somebody, you introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Tienz, I'm a pastor, this is what I do. What do you do? What is important to you? Where are you from? And what you're doing while you're chatting to this person is that you're looking all the time for body language. You're looking all the time at how this person is responding. Just even subconsciously, it might not be something that you attentively doing, but as part of interaction and relationship, we automatically do that. We look for clues of where this person is at, and then you adjust in terms of how you talk to the person and how you relate to the person. If you see the person, for example, is very sad when you talk to the person, immediately you change your tone, immediately you change what you're saying to that person, because you want to connect with the person. Now, we very automatically do that as human beings. And you know, audiences, they are not different at all. It is important that you're not so involved in your own content that you actually don't look at the audience. A handy tip can be to look in triangles. That sounds a bit strange, but when you look at an audience, imagine a triangle that's going to one end, to the other end, and to the other end, and then you look in triangles to look at various people. That's just a handy way of making sure that you actually cover, that you see people, look people in the eye. And by looking in triangles, you can pretty much make sure that you cover the whole audience as you do that. Another way of doing it is to give special attention to people that you see is very responsive to the message. In other words, people that you can see they're really relating to it. You can see it in their eyes, you can see it in body language. You can look at them, and often they'll give you very good feedback in terms of how they respond in their body language to give you a feel for, am I losing people? Are people connecting with me? In the same way that if you have a conversation with somebody personally, you can see if somebody is losing interest. You can see if somebody has lost you somewhere. What are you talking about? You can see if somebody is responding and they're like, well, okay, yeah, that's, I'm really relating to that. And that will help you to respond in kind. In other words, if you see that you're losing people, you need to slow down and you need to clarify things. And just to make sure that you connect with people where they're at and then continue again. Perhaps if they're very responsive, you can go a slight bit quicker. You can change the tone of a sermon according to the mood of the audience itself. Please look at people. And that's why it's important that you know your content. You know, if you are so well prepared for your sermon, sometimes what can happen is, it's almost like we want to read a sermon off because we're so concerned about the content. And that's all fine and well, but the problem is you might then struggle to connect with the audience itself. So it is very important actually to look at people and to see where they are at. Now, another important factor to remember here in terms of the audience itself, credibility. Credibility is crucial to reception of your sermon. Please remember, Google can be your best friend ever or your worst enemy ever. What I mean with that is, be careful not to fall into the trap of adding so much sensation perhaps to a fact or to a nice story that you're trying to tell because you feel that it really illustrates well what you're trying to say. Now just check your facts. Check your facts. Make sure that what you say is actually true, because the problem is, somebody might go like, oh, is that true? And I just quickly Google it on the phone or something like that, and it turns out to be something else. And you know, it's not like you're a liar. It's not like you're trying to deceive people. It's not like you're trying to, you know, get your facts all muddled. In fact, I probably want to tell our audience that they should give a 10 to 20% grace factor for anyone preaching, because it's really difficult standing in front there and saying everything exactly as it is. You're definitely going to make mistakes, and people should have grace for that, for crying out loud. But the problem is this, if you get something horribly wrong, a person is going to check it, and they're going to go like, you've got this wrong. And the moment that happens, the rest of your sermon, it just flies out of the window. People are not going to listen to what you're saying. Also, do not plagiarize. Do not plagiarize. No sermon is original, because all sermons are based on the Word of God. No one has got an original, oh my goodness, this is the first time ever sort of sermon. I am sure it's been preached and it's been said in thousands of years of history with the Word of God. Of course it will be said somewhere. So nothing that we say is truly original. And the strength of your sermon is not based on the originality of it. It's based on the truth of it and the fact that it's applicable truth to that audience for now in that moment. But that means that somebody perhaps already addressed this topic. Now, if you are using work of somebody else, just be honest about that. Just say, you know what, a lot of a sermon is based on this particular preacher. And the audience is not going to hold it against you. They're not going to say, oh my goodness, you're so unoriginal. We never want to hear about you. No, they're going to respond to the honesty and the truth of it. and the fact that it's applicable to their lives. Just be honest about the sources that you use. The problem again is if people then hear a sermon or they read a sermon, then they realize, oh, that is exactly the same sermon that that guy preached. Again, credibility is going to fly out of the window and people not going to listen to what you're saying. Now, another consideration in terms of audience size, in terms of audience itself, is that the delivery of a sermon differs with the audience size. There's upside to the size of the audience itself. The smaller your audience, the more intimate it becomes. Say you're speaking to a group of 30 people, that's a very intimate setting because chances are you'll be able to look at every person in the eye. Chances are you're going to know people in the audience. You might know people in the audience. It's more intimate. It's more relational. Use that. In other words, use the names of people sitting there. Look at the people itself. Chat to, for example, a person. If you're using illustration, say using analogy, say the person's name, a person's name, and use them as an example. Perhaps you can think of a story of a person that's sitting there concerning the topic and use that. Obviously, if it's confidential, don't use it. But, you know, if it's a good example, use that. Because you're thinking more about a conversation in a setting like that. You're thinking more about relationship in a setting like that. Now, that's an upside to a small audience. And you must speak softer. You must speak more relational. Keep it conversational. Now, the upside to a larger audience is that you've got more momentum. In other words, if you've got an audience of sitting there, 1,000 to 2,000 people, there's already a buzz about that. Because there's many people that's together and they're doing things and something is happening here. God is here. Let's do something. And you can use that momentum again. In other words, with a smaller audience, you want to engage people around a relational level, but with a bigger audience, what you want to do is you want to engage them on that point of momentum. We're going something here. We're going somewhere here. In that sense, you then want to have a tone that's perhaps a bit louder. You want to have more rousing sort of speech. Let's go for this. Let's make a difference. Let's hear what God is saying to us and do something about it. We want to motivate action in that sense. All right. And then in terms of the audience, again, keep the audience in mind with your preparation. What often I ask myself, I'm not the best person with this. I tend to be somewhat abstract sometimes when it comes to sermons. So I have to work on this all the time. What you want to do is you want to ask yourself, so what? When everything is said and done, when you've done your whole sermon, you've said everything you wanted to say, you want to ask a question, so what? In other words, that person must be able to translate what you're saying in the sermon to real life. In other words, you want to try and include practical applications. As a practical to the session itself, what we want you to do is divide into groups of 10 people, 10 persons. Now, each person will be given an opportunity to say something in front of a group. So allow some time just to prepare for this, but then each person is given an opportunity to say something in front of a group. Please keep it short, maximum 5 minutes each person. If less, then that'll be great. Introduce yourself. In other words, this is what you're going to do standing in front there. Introduce yourself. Tell one funny story of what happened to you recently. And share one revelation that you recently received concerning the nature of God. In other words, something that you really realized who God is and what is in the heart of God and how he works. And then allow the group to give feedback to you about how you project yourself, taking the discussed principles in account. In other words, what sort of idea do I get about yourself? Are you very shy when you're talking? Are you very confident when you're talking? Did I really get an idea what you're all about? Did I get a sense of a flow of what you're discussing here? Now, if you're doing this with distance learning, take some time to find somebody that you can do this exercise with. Or, this is going to sound very strange, but this is actually very effective. Look at yourself in a mirror while you're doing this. It is very disconcerting to do that. It's very strange to do that. But often you're going to pick up on things that you didn't realize about yourself just by looking in a mirror as you're talking in this regard. Thank you so much.